Today's Mishnayot in Masechet Kelim, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, is Perek Shishi. And we're up to the opening Mishnah in Perek Shishi. Gavi, I didn't mean to get you that worn out. We'll send you some back here. No problem. Wake up. Oh my gosh. Gavi, here. So we're continuing with the unusual halakha. So the last thing that we learned was the closing Mishnah in Perek Hay, which expressed very clearly the difference between the standards that we have for kelim that are kli cheres and the kelim that we have, which are made out of metal, certainly which are made out of stone. One of the most amazing things is the special din that the Torah gives on tanur v'kiraim within the din of kli cheres, which allows the earth itself to be part of the kli. So even though these things do not have a base kibul until they're connected to the earth, that itself is the kli cheres and the kira, as we've seen. How far does this halakha extend? Well, our perek, amazingly, extends the concept of a kli cheres that uses the oretz as its matrix in the most, what you would think, is most far-fetched ways to be considered a kli, and nonetheless views it as a kli. So here it would be a case of Oseh Shlosha Pitputim Ba'aretz. You put three little legs down on the ground in a triangle, V'chibran Betit, and then you connect them with some clay. L'yot Shofet Aleim HaTakteira, and this provides, oh, there we go, take a look, please, at Naftali's picture. You've got three little feet, and they're connected with a little bit of clay, and you could make a fire beneath them, and you can place a pot on top of that once it's hardened by the fire.
A tripod, yes.
And that itself is a functional kira, because you could put a fire under it, and you could put a pot on top of it, and therefore, that is a stripped-down kira. So that would be tummy. But if you did the same thing with metal pegs, kavash lo shames meirim ba'aretz, liot shofet aleim etakdera, to form what is effectively a tripod, but they're not connected, here, af al pisha sabro sham, makom shetei akdera yoshevet, even though you place clay on top so that the pot could sit on it, it's still tahor. Because you cannot use the earth to complete the kli when it comes to a metal kli. As we've seen, a metal thing that is mechuber is ipso facto, not mekabel tuma. So the very fact that it needs the earth means that it's not a kli. Suppose you take two stones. Now, stones are not mekabel tuma at all. You put two stones down, and you turn them into a kira. How do you do that? Take a look at the picture that Naftali just raised. You connect these two stones on top with a little bit of clay on each side, which gives you room to make a fire. This is a great temporary kira. You're out in the desert somewhere. It's a very simple way to cook yourself up a frying pan for an egg or whatever. You put two stones together, put the pot on top of it, put a piece of wood underneath it, light it, and now you've got yourself a beautiful little kitchen, which you don't have to worry about taking it along with you. You connected those two stones with tit, it would be tame. Rabbi Yehuda says it's never tame if all you have is two sides. A kli, even in this fashion, that's functional, but you want to make it into a kli cheres, it has to have a third side. So either you put a third stone down, or you built it up next to a wall, and the wall serves as the third side, then it would be tame. But if you connected, let's say, one of these stones, I'll get to you, Meir Simcha, in a moment. You connected one of these stones with clay, and the other one you just put down on the ground and did not connect it with clay, even though it serves the same function, it is not seen as a unified kli, and therefore it would be Tohorah. This is not only the words of Rabbi Yehuda. It's a little misleading. This is true even according to the Shita of the Chachomim. The question over here is, as we're going to see later, whether the Chibran Batit is actually Naphtali's picture, or whether Chibran Batit simply means, as seems to be clear later on, and many of the Rishonim say so beferish, that Chibran Batit means the stones were connected to the ground with Tit. Now that's a much bigger Kiddush. It doesn't mean that they have to be connected to each other. It means that we actually use the ground as the matrix for the Kli. And that if those stones are all connected with clay, then they become a functional Kli Chanes, even though they themselves are stone. They are now bottle to the clay and the Chanes that they've become, and therefore the Mekabel Tumah, which is an immense Kiddush, and is consistent with the rest of the parak, as we're going to see. Yes, Be'er Simcha.
When we say that these structures are Mekabel Tumah, do we mean that they're Mekabel Tumah like a Kli Chanes?
Yes.
Like Mitocho?
Yes. Absolutely. As a matter of fact, we're going to talk about those cases coming up. Mishnah Beit. Ha'even, Shaya Shofet, Aleha V'Al HaTanur, Aleha V'Al HaKira, Aleha V'Al HaKupach, Temea. What's more, even if you have a single stone, look at the picture over there from Naphtali, a single stone which sits on a bed of clay, so its connection to the ground is with clay, and it is using a Kli Cheres, like an oven, or like a stovetop, or even like a kupach, which is a single, remember the kupach was a place for a single pot or frying pan to put on it, which are themselves Kli Cheres, and it has now become an extension of the existing Kli Cheres by virtue of its attachment to the ground and its proximity to the other Kli, which allows you to put a pot on top. You'll notice, of course, that there is a bit of anachronism here, because to have that nice, beautiful aluminum pot on top of the type of stove and stone that we're talking about, it seems a little bit jarring. I'm sure Barnea is ready with the pun. Seems a little bit jarring, but nonetheless, that is an art scroll picture for you. So it's got this nice contemporary ring. Okay.
It's a Greek or a Roman pot. It's Greek or Roman, so it's contemporary to the Mishnah. But that's what they do.
I see. Okay, we'll be Malamitzchus. So that would be Tame. If you put it, however, on the other side of a stone, or that's an Evan is a loose stone, a Leav ala Sela is the actual rock that, of the ground itself, bedrock, or a Leav al HaKotel, you balance the pot on this rock and a wall that's made out of stone, then it's Tahora, because we do not have the Kli aspect at all in that case. V'zo haita kirat ha-nezirim sh'Yerushalayim. In fact, this was the way that the Nazirim, who used to have to cook the El Nazir, and they wanted to be Zohir from Tuma, so that nothing could be Metame, even if a Sheretz would fall in. So what they did was they actually would balance a stone up against the edge of the wall in the Beis HaMikdash, where in the Lishkat HaNazirim, and that way they would have a non-Kli to cook the El Nazir. Shekineged, and they would use the actual wall, and it was a cellar or a wall that they used. Now, a kirata tabachim, picture please, Naphtali. A kirata tabachim is a mass-produced, somebody's making a simcha, let's say, right? So they've got tables spread out. They're serving for 100 people. They're out in the field. How do they cook? So over there you have the catering company sets up these stones. They don't have to bring out professional things with them. You set up these stones, as many pots as you want to cook at once. You can simply add an additional stone, put another fire between it and the stone next to it, and every single one of those spaces actually creates a new kira, which is terrific. So when each one of these stones is connected to the karka, as you see in the picture, with clay, then that becomes bizman shehu noten even bitzad even. If, let's say, a sheretz falls between one of the avanim and the next one, if nitmeit achat mehem, lo nitmeit kulam. If one of these stones becomes tamei, it doesn't mean that all of this is supposed to be seen all as one kli. Because just as we had earlier, remember, we had back in the second parak, we had those cases where you've got the kalmar, and over there, each different section of the kalmar was viewed as a separate type of kli, even though they were all connected. So you had these little sections, each section had its own din of tuma. Same thing is true over here. If one of the sections becomes tame, it doesn't mean that the next section becomes tame. Indeed, says the third Mishnah, shalosh avanim sha'asa'an shtei chirai. You have three stones. Now, when you have three stones, you have two spaces in between the three stones. And that means you've got two functional stovetops. One of nitmeit achat min achitzona. So if one of the outside of avanim becomes tame, so that means the section on the outside to the right is tame. What is the din of the middle stone? Remember that that middle stone is partially used to be the wall of the right side kira. Part of it is used to be the wall of the left side kira. Now, we had a machlokas very early on. In cases where you have these cellular structures, whether we split the wall of a cellular structure to be seen as partially nogea, the cell on your right, partially nogea, the cell on your left, and so on. But over there, the Chachomim say, we do not split the wall. In this case, remember that the kira is only a functional kira because of the wall. Where do you put the pot? You put the pot on top, and it's supported by the wall. So it's very different than the case of the kalmar, where in the kalmar, all we're interested in is the space. But there, Naftali is showing us the kira of three stones. In this case, however, we need the top. And because of that, we split down the middle. We think it's the middle. We'll see if that's a portion by in the next case. But we split the middle stone such that the part of the stone that is used as the wall and the support for the pot of the right-hand side kira is tame. But the one that is used to support the pot and it provides the wall for the left-hand kira is tohar. So that the same...
There's a saying in that picture, right? The one on the left should not be a tame stone. It should also be a tohar stone.
Yes, that's it's wrong. Yeah, I have no idea what that is. That's a wrong picture. It's very surprising. They're usually quite good. No, I won't. So maybe my son-in-law didn't work on the pictures. I hope. Okay. So anyway, usually they're pretty good at these things. Okay, you're right. Thank you, Rabbi Nia. So in that case, we would actually split the area of the middle stone, and therefore. Ha'emtzaita mishameshet et ha'tmeya is tmeya. Ha'mishameshet et ha'torah is torah. Now, what happens if you take away the side that was tohar? Here, what happens is, in taking away that is tohar, you basically have ended the status of the middle stone as being anything but part of the single kira that's left, correct? And since that kira is tame, the entire stone is tame. And therefore, if you take off the tohar side, now huchletaha emtsaita tuma, the middle one becomes completely tame. What about if you take off the tame side, the side on the right? Nitlaha tmeya, then you've destroyed the kli, which was the kira on the right. And when you destroy a kli cheres, which is tame, it, of course, becomes tahor. So the part that's left of it, which is the middle stone, is now entirely tahor. How about if both of the outside stones become tameh? So then, and here is the case where we see that the point that we're dealing with over here is the ability of the middle stone not simply be to be the wall of the fire, but to be the support of the pot. And therefore, it's very different from the cases that we had earlier, including the case of the Kalmar that we've been talking about. So if the middle stone was so wide that it has room for an area to support a pot on the right and a pot on the left, and there's still space between it, so then what you do is, noten lezor kedei shvita mikan, velezor kedei shvita mikan, you leave enough space so that there would be a pot that would be on the edge of the stone in both directions, but the middle part, which is not needed for support of the pots, the middle part is not needed for support of the parts, it is tahar in the middle. If it was a smaller stone that did not have any area that wasn't needed for support, then hakol tameh. Now, here's the interesting question. What happens if we take away the middle stone? In taking away the middle stone, we're still left with a much larger kira, but it's the same basic structure, fractally speaking. It's just a larger version of the smaller structures that we previously had. Now we have one large structure. Did it lose its shein kli because it's now a different type of kira or not? So here the din is like this. Im yachol lishpot aleha yore gidola, then it's tmei'ah. If it's not that far apart, that you could still take a large pot and put it on the two further extreme stones without the middle stone, it retains its shein kli, but it's not the kli that it was. And if you put it back, the middle stone, it is now tahor. Why? Because it's no longer a big kira. Why not? Just because there's a middle stone doesn't mean I can't put on the large pot on the whole structure. No. So why does it lose its tuma just because I put the middle stone in place? The answer is that there is a tremendous chisaron in a kira that you'd have to make two separate fires to be able to heat the same pot, as opposed to the large kira that we had before, where you would have a single area that you lit up and could keep the pot on top of it. Therefore, it loses its tuma. Now, that doesn't mean it can't become tummy again, but how would it become tummy again? Well, you'd have to reheat it to the minimal sfogim. You'd have to heat it to the minimal sponge cake level of heat. And then if you put, again, you put clay under it, and now it's connected, mekabela tuma mishi yasikena, as long as it's at the heat, here we're talking about a kira, of course, not a tanur, and therefore the shear is beitza kalash bebeitzim, which we defined before as a beitza tarnagolet, trufa beshemen, if you'll recall. Now, how about two stones? You made them into a kira, as per the original description, which over here is strongly mashma, that they only need be connected to the ground with clay. And then you added a stone to the right and a stone to the left. So now you've created, instead of a single kira, you've created three separate kirot. This, again, is wrong. This is quite surprising. They are making mistakes one after the other. No, this is very wrong. That's very misleading. The picture is right, but the words are completely wrong. So where it says Tameh and Tahar is completely wrong. No, that's wrong. That's wrong. Totally wrong. The words Tameh and Tahar belong in the two middle stones, not on the two extremes. It's ridiculous. Really. It's like not a tzad in the world to say that picture. That's very disappointing. Here's the more primitive picture, which is not as exciting, but at least they got it right. This is from the Sefer Tavnit Kelim. So you could see there on the bottom, that is correct. So what happens over there is that when you added the two additional sides and you got three, what happens then is that the tuma that was in the middle, since the two stones that were previously completely tame have now become the walls and the support in their outside section of the new kira to the right and the new kira to the left, which did not become tame, what you've done is you've taken away the tuma from the outside part of the inner two stones. Because the two outside kirot are tahorot, and therefore the stone that is attached to them, based on the principle that we had earlier in the perek, which is that only the part that is being used for the support of the tame kira is tame, here you've changed the support of the two middle stones such that the outside of each of them is part of a new kira, which is tahor. And therefore, weirdly, you've taken off the tumah by changing the kli, and this kli is now a new kli, mechuber to the new oven to its right or to its left, respectively. So then, chetzah shel zut me'yah v'chetzah Torah, chetzah shel zut me'yah v'chetzah Torah. If you now take off the two outer stones, nitlu the Torah, the inner stones now become tameh, because they're no longer part of the outside kirot, and now they are restored to being nothing but the walls and support of the single inside kira, which was tameh before and remains tameh now, which means that a kli can be somewhat elastic in this sense, in terms of its halacha, because the kli is whatever it is currently defined as the kli, and its previous status is very important to note. Something could be tameh because it was a kli. Nothing in it has physically changed whatsoever. There was no shvira. There was just a redefinition of the area of the kli. And then because of its, what we have a sense even of, panim chadashot bo'olakan, when something takes on a new, remember this is about da'at. So when something takes on a new way of seeing it in terms of your usage of it, it becomes a different kli. And therefore, that kli was never mitameh. However, when it goes back to being what it was, it's still the kli that was there from before that was tameh. And therefore, it is shayach to be, it's chozer to its tumah, something that we usually do not find, except as the Rabbanan Gezera, by kli matechet, which had been broken and then re-soldered. Where over there we have a Gezera de Rabbanan, which is called chozrim l'tumatam hayishana, does not apply to kli cheres. But this is a somewhat similar din, except that here it's a diaraita, and that the kli is actually the kli which it was, because no physical change was ever affected in it.